gonna talk first.
Oh, I had something.
Did you have something?
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you know what I get by with a little help? Wait, no, shit.
Do you know what I get by with?
A little help from your
a
friends?
A little help from my friends. I thought I had something. Apparently, that I totally was, fucked it up syntactically.
Really good.
Well, it's because of the episode title, Katie.
What's the episode title?
It's, we haven't thought of it yet, but it's something to do with asking for help and having ADHD.
It's probably going to be, I get by with a little help from my friends.
Do you think so?
Probably, because you made that joke. So now yeah, I guess so. That probably makes sense.
It's going to be immediate payoff from the title.
Immediate payoff.
Well, asking for help is hard to do, you know? It's a hard thing to do. It's worth talking about.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Katie Sorris.
Nice. Yes, hi, hello. It's me. Hey, Goo.
Welcome back to
Infinite Quest.
Infinite
Quest.
Infinite Quest. Fuck you.
That is like, I love that that's never like funny, but it's always funny.
It's
like,
it's continues to be, I just make it be dumb every time.
We wanted to talk about, but I want to talk about this week, asking for help with ADHD. Asking for help in general, but, you know, as people with ADHD, asking for help, because it's a hard thing to do. I was thinking certain thing times when you ask for help, like if you're not tall enough to reach something on a shelf, that's like objective. So it's like, I'm not tall enough, therefore I'll ask somebody who is tall enough, like da, da, da. But a lot of things times when we have to ask for help because of ADHD, it's something that is much harder to identify as like objective. It's something that like we feel like we shouldn't have to ask for help with. Like, if you're not tall enough to reach something, you're not tall enough to reach something. But, like, who's to say that I couldn't just do my dishes myself rather than, like, ask for you to come over and help me, you know?
I think it has to do a lot with the way things are, quote unquote, supposed to be done. Mm. Like I want to be very careful because I want to say very explicitly going into this conversation, like, I am talking about my own experience, like, and your experience may differ, and that is totally okay. But like, I grew up sort of internalizing this idea that there was like a correct way to do something. There was a correct way, like one specifically true and good and correct way to do things. And so if you did them outside of that correct way, then it was wrong. And there was something inherently wrong with you. But the problem with that is, like, nobody ever told me what the right way was supposed to be. It's like laundry, right? Like, laundry is a really good example, because I'm going to talk a lot about laundry this episode because I tend to really, really struggle with it. But it's like, I grew up feeling like there was like this one secretly correct way to do laundry. And if you didn't do your laundry in this like right and correct way, then like you were doing it wrong. But then like at some point I realized that like, no, everybody, like, I mean, there's like the functionality of like put clothes in the washing machine, put them into the dryer. Like, okay, we all do that. But even that can be done in different ways and different configurations and at different times and all different things. And so this, like, so asking for help for me has always been really hard from a combination of both feeling like I just never got the memo about how I was supposed to do it right. So then I felt foolish for like needing to ask for help, or having to admit that like I'm struggling enough that I need to be able to accept the help. You know what I mean? Kind of.
Yeah. Well, it also the idea that like there's this correct way of doing it that you haven't gotten the memo of that method, it also adds a certain level of whatever the opposite of immutable is. We're like, oh, I don't need help. I just haven't done the work yet. The work of figuring out what the correct way is, or the work of finding somebody to fucking tell me or something like that. It's always this like, it's all rooted in I'm just not good enough. You know, I'm just not good enough to figure out what the right way is, or to ask someone what the correct person or whatever. You know, I'm just not good enough. Therefore, I need to ask for help, which I think is a really bad thing to have popping around in your brain. And I think it all comes down to that moral, the value judgment, the moral judgment that we impose on not knowing like the quote unquote correct way to do laundry, the correct way for me dishes. I really struggle with dishes. And asking for help isn't like a giving in to like not being enough. It's the realization that like there's no such thing as not enough. It's just life is meant to be enjoyed, and we have to do certain things sometimes to make it easier to enjoy or to enjoy. And sometimes that involves asking for help.
Yeah. I mean, and I think too, for me, a lot of asking for help involves sort of having to do like a fearless assessment of oneself and like realizing the places where, you know, I do admittedly have like actual shortcomings, you know, and one of them is like I have terrible clutter blindness. Like I will just look around, you know, like I will let things get to a point of like absolutely out of control. And then by that point, I go, oh, my God, I'm so overwhelmed. And then I'm so embarrassed and I'm so, you know, ashamed and I feel so guilty that I'm just depressed about it. So then I don't want to fix it. But then the other component piece of that too is like, I'm not a patient person. And so when it comes to things like, you know, okay, well, I'm going to declutter the office. Well, that means now I have to figure out a place for everything. If it doesn't already have a place, and if it does already have a place, the statistical likelihood that the place where that stuff is supposed to go is also covered in clutter. And so then it just becomes a sort of like chain clutter reaction. And that's really frustrating. But that's also a place where like looking at it logically, I was like, OK, well, I can get help with this. You know, I can ask for help. And so. But it's hard because it's still this idea that it's like, well, I should be able to do it by myself. I shouldn't have to have somebody come in and like, you know, teach me how to organize my laundry or teach me how to do, you know, whatever, quote unquote, adult thing there is. But I also think like, it's okay if you need somebody to teach you how to do that, because like, we're not inherently born knowing how to do the laundry. Like we're not born, you know, having a really good handle on what is the most efficient system for us to manage our clutter. And so putting that expectation on ourselves that we're supposed to magically do it on our own and be able to figure it out without the aid of anybody else is like weirdly backwards to the way that I think we tend to live the rest of our lives. You know, it's like you don't know how math works, so you go to school, you know, and you become a person who generally understands math. You don't know the history of the world, you go to college and you learn about the history of the world. So why is there such like a, I don't want to say negativity, but like a hesitancy towards asking for help for like laundry and dishes and you know, like cleaning your blinds. Apparently you're supposed to clean your blinds.
What?
Yeah.
Is that even possible?
Yeah. There's like, it's like a little duster thing.
The duster guy. Okay.
Yeah. But apparently you're supposed to like clean your blinds like once a month.
What? Nobody ever told me that.
And like the ceiling fans, huh. You know, like ceiling fans get dusty.
Ceiling fans. I did know. I've dusted a fair amount of ceiling fans.
I always
fans.
Forget. Well, then that's the problem. It's like my ceiling fan is like really dirty in the bedroom right now. It's like, cause I always forget it exists. And then I like look up and I go, all right, fuck, I'll do it later. And then
it's gonna
I just
make
never
the
do.
Entire room feel like a desert during a sandstorm for a little bit. For me, at least, I think one of the reasons that it's really hard is asking for help is sort of to invite an audience to this shortcoming of yours or this situation that you're not happy about. You're inviting another person to come look at your laundry room or your sink full of dishes or whatever it is, which, you know, whether or not it should or should not be embarrassing, you know, we can't control how we feel all the time. We rarely can. And so it just feels embarrassing. And so I think some of my hesitancy is just literally having another person look at it. Because, I mean, I live alone, so I can kind of hide some stuff. But like, if you come over and help me with something, I'm now showing you, you know, I'm literally my dirty laundry in a lot of ways.
All your laundry is just like black t-shirts.
I know,
so
it's just a big black
like
heap.
It's just like a shadow in the corner.
Exactly right. That was the strategy all along. another one, I think it's sort of like what we talked about last week about getting to know yourself, is before somebody knows about it, before you ask for help, it's sort of like, you know, when you say something out loud, it feels real. You know, if I say like, I don't know, like I don't like chocolate ice cream. You know, I may have been thinking that for years, but now that I've said it, that's like true about me. You know, that's like a thing that has been said. It's in the log. So similarly, I think asking for help is to not deny what the circumstances are. Like, or is it to move past denial about circumstances? And I think a lot of times, again, I also want to clarify that I am also speaking about my own experience. There's a lot of denial for me about my tendencies and my struggles with cleanliness and, time organization and whatnot. For the longest time, I liked to not admit those things about myself, and you know, asking for help is a form of admission, because I didn't want them to be true. I wanted to believe that I could become a person who was epic at doing their dishes and the cleanest, most organized motherfucker on the planet. Like, I wanted to believe that I could just become that person, and that, you know, to reference last week's episode, like, that character trait hadn't been filled in yet, you know, and I was just deciding what I wanted it to be. And to ask for help is to admit, no, like, I really struggle with organization, you know. But I think there's a lot of relief in that. And when you ask for help, you're giving permission to whoever you ask for help from. You're giving them permission to ask for stuff for help. You're giving them permission to ask for help with the things that they need help with. You're normalizing asking for help with things like dishes and whatnot. I mean, I know we keep talking about dishes and laundry and stuff, but those are very particular to our lives. But whatever the thing is, you're increasing the normalcy of that, which I think is a net positive.
Yeah. I mean, well, and it's also, I just realized in this moment right now, I forgot to tell you this, but literally the organizers are coming back tomorrow.
What?
Yeah. Because, like, speaking of asking for help and speaking of last week's episode, like, I had this, like, moment where, like, and I want to be very clear, because, like, I really struggle with, I think, do it by yourself-ism, you know, like, this idea that, like, the only valid way to, like, do the thing is to, like, suffer through it and do it yourself. And, like, I'm a bad person if I don't, you know, fold my laundry or whatever it is. But the problem is that, like, you know, speaking of last week's episode, like, I am a person who deeply struggles with finishing tasks, like, whatever the task is. Like, I get halfway through and something happens or my schedule changes or, like, whatever. And I carry a lot of guilt and a lot of shame about this. And so one of the issues that I've been having is I've been making a cognizant effort to do better about, like, washing laundry regularly. Like I'm going to do, you know, a load of laundry, you know, once a day or whatever. But the problem is that, like, my schedule is so busy and now I've lost weekends because of the Renaissance Festival. I don't often have the time that I would like to finish that task. And for me, the hardest part is putting the clothes away. I can wash them, I can dry them, I can pull them out of the dryer, you know, put them in a basket, whatever it may be. But getting them from the laundry room to the closet is really and truly, it is a difficult task. And I keep standing in the laundry room going, like, it's just clothes, just pick up the clothes, just pick, you know, whatever. And then it's, you know, I pick up the one pile and then another giant pile falls over on top of that pile, and then it looks worse than before. And now, you know, there's three suitcases of laundry that I still haven't done from the last time we went to it, you know, like, all this stuff. And I finally had this moment where I was like, I admittedly have the privilege of being able to ask for professional help in this capacity. And so I reached out to the organizers and I was like, hey, so full disclosure, like, a lot of what you did for me last time really worked, but a lot of it didn't, you know, like, a lot of it didn't stick. A lot of it has sort of, like, gone back to seed, as it were. But one of the things that I really struggle with is just laundry. And last time the organizers came, I was really proud of myself. I got rid of, like, several garbage bags full of clothes. Like, I got rid of a lot of stuff. And so that made my closet more empty, but it also meant that everything in my closet was fucked up because I had gone through everything to, like, you know, figure out what I wanted to get rid of. And so I reached out to the organizers, and Ruth, who runs the company, she was so great. She was like, oh, yeah, we can come back in. And she's like, especially now, because, like, there'll be room in your closet, like, we can really work to figure out a system that works for you in order to make sure that, like, it's not going to keep happening, you know, like, because sometimes you have to, like, go through the clutter, get rid of the stuff. And now, okay, now we're going to start in a system that works. But what I'm going to do, Eric, is I need the laundry room cleared. And that's, like, the insurmountable task. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to put racks in the laundry room.
Nice.
I'm going to build shelving in the laundry room. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to, thank you, Casey Davis, I'm going to put bins in there. And then that way, like, if I'm doing laundry, I can just sort of sort and have stuff just like there and not have to worry about, okay, now it has to get back to the bedroom. Now it has to get folded. Now get that can all sort of happen organically in the space where it's just sort of been stuck because there's no workable area. Mm-hmm. And so that was sort of like the help that I'm, you know, giving myself or whatever it may be. But it's hard, you know, it's hard because like I have to call up a team of strangers and they're very nice strangers and they're very non-judgmental strangers, but they've already been here once. Like that's the other thing. It's like, so now like they're coming over and they're going to be like, oh, so you really are a fuck up. Like, and I know that that's not what they're going to say. Like they're going to be kind and they're going to be supportive and they're going to be non-judgmental. But in my head, like not only did I have to hire them a first time, but now I had to bring them back because that's how much of a fuck up I am. And I hate that. I hate that that's how my brain thinks instead of being like, wow, good for you for asking for help and good for you for like finding a solution that is going to offer you like long-term sustainability. My brain is going like, you are an absolute fuck up. And now like the literal people that you called to help you the last time, they're gonna know that you're a fuck up, and that is stressful.
Yeah. Well, I also want to. I feel like it's probably necessary to point out. First off, valid. But I feel like it's necessary to point out that when we talk about asking for help, we don't necessarily mean paying someone else to do it.
No. You can ask a friend. Like body. You know, it's in my specific case, I'm choosing to hire back the organizers because it's just efficient, you know,
but it's like money and you're giving them business and everybody wins.
Yeah, they're a small local business. Right. Like, you know, like they're a great company. And so I'm like, hell yeah, you know?
Yeah.
But like, you know, you have also offered many times to just sit with me and, you know, go through my clothes with me. Mm-hmm. And we just haven't, you know, found the time. But like, that's just as valid. You know, it's like you don't have to hire the maid service. You know, you don't have to spend money in order to accept help.
Right.
Their help can come from a lot of different ways and help can look like a lot of different things. Oh, yeah, you know, yeah. Like, I mean, shout out to Anne and Moon, who are We Don't Deserve, and they are the greatest people in history. But like, you know, sitting in a Zoom call and body doubling, that can sometimes be as much help as you need in order to complete whatever task it is. But you still have to ask your friends like, hey, would you mind, you know, sitting on this Zoom call with me? Would you mind coming over to my house? Like whatever it may be. So there still has to be the ask. And I think the ask can be the scariest part.
Yeah. Cause you have to decide to do it.
Yeah.
Like you know, in deciding to do it is the admission that you need help, which exactly. I think is the hardest, one of the hardest parts.
Can you, I'm just really interested cause you suggested this episode. So yes, I'm wondering if, do you have like a specific moment in your life when you can think of that you were like, holy shit, like I really am going to ask for help.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, I think the best example is when, you know, my laundry thing for me is my dishes. I really like even one dish in my sink. Just I don't know what it does to my brain, but it freaks me out. And having you help with that is, I think, probably the biggest example in my everyday life now. But one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this episode was help can look a lot of different ways. And I think a very useful, necessary thing to do for people in general, but also this is an ADHD podcast, so particularly with people with ADHD who often need help with things that a lot of people don't need help with. Help can look a bunch of different things. Help can be outsourcing something. Like if you have the money to pay someone to paint your fence, you know, you're supporting a local business. They get paid to do what they're good at. They win. You win because you facilitated the painting of the thing. You know, like ultimately, like obviously you didn't literally paint the fence, but you facilitated it happening. You know, like that's a perfectly valid thing to do. But also asking for help can literally be like when I was moving to Georgia and I had to pack up all my shit, like I would just call you and you would just be on, you know, my phone. You'd be on like a Facebook call. You know, we didn't even necessarily talk. You were just on the Facebook call, like body doubling. That can be a form of help. A big one is just asking for somebody else to tell you to do it. That's a weird one, but that's worked for me quite a bit. Like, will you tell me to do my dishes? Like, I need to do my dishes. Like, I just can't get myself to get out of the seat. So just somebody saying like, hey, Eric, you know, why don't you go do your dishes? I'm like, good idea. Like, I'll go do that. So help can be all sorts of different things. And I think it's essential for any given person, but again, particularly people with ADHD, to take accurate, objective, and non-judgmental stock of what tools they have at their disposal. And those tools can be other people. Now, I want to be clear, don't objectify other people. People are not just tools for you to use. But a lot of times people fucking like to be useful. People, like, if you ask me for help, that's a win for me too, because I like being helpful. Like, it makes me feel good to be helpful. Like, selfishly, it makes me feel good. So if somebody I love, like you or, you know, somebody else I love, asks me like, hey, Eric, can you like sit on the phone with me while I do this? Or, hey, Eric, can you just like tell me that it's okay to, you know, I don't know, buy this massive steak that's on sale at Costco and freeze half of it because I don't want to go shopping for the next month, whatever it is. Like, I feel honored that they reached out to me. Now, this isn't the case with everybody. I mean, you have to judge your relationship with this person. Honestly, if I called somebody I worked with 10 years ago and said, hey, will you sit on the phone with me while I cook dinner? They might go, what? You know, but again, that's why I get just thinking of taking objective and non-judgmental stock of what tools you ethically have at your disposal is really important, because it doesn't have to be a full-blown outsource of somebody else doing your laundry for you or having somebody else paint your fence. It can be as very small things, just as people saying, hey, you got this, or something like that. All of those are extremely valid and useful forms of help, most of which are free.
I mean, welcome to the Academic Science Corner with Katie Osoris. Yay! But Science Corner time, kids. But I mean, scientifically, like, we can track, like, based on a lot of the research that has been done about ADHD lately, that a lot of times the difference between success and quote unquote failure in a lot of places, especially surrounding the conversation about executive dysfunction, is a support system. And but like you said, a support system can look many different ways. You know, a support system can be, you know, hiring a cleaning service to come in once a month and just, you know, clean your blinds or like whatever. Or it can be, you know, organizing the Zoom calls or whatever. But for people with ADHD, scientifically, research wise, being able to both create and then, you know, maintain a support system is one of the most vital things in terms of avoiding stuff like substance use disorder, even like stuff like sleep disorders and stuff like that. Because it's like, if you are taking care of yourself, you are less likely to turn to unhealthy coping mechanisms and coping strategies in order to, you know, feel better about the situation that you find yourself in. So it's like literally like asking for help is healthy. Like, asking for help is, you know, is a tool in the ADHD toolbox just as much as like medication or, you know, therapy. I mean, therapy is a type of asking for help too, but you know what I mean? Like, being able to say, hey, I really need help with my dishes. Can you come over and, you know, watch TV with me or whatever? Like, that is, it turns out that's like really, really important for the ADHD brain to have.
Yeah. And yeah, and I think one of the reasons I keep using the word inventory is a lot of times it's hard to figure out what the necessary help or the useful help is in the moment, because in moments when we need help, we're not our strong, you know, we're we need help, you know. And so it's hard in that moment to think, what do I need right now? What could make this situation better? So something that's very helpful to me is either mentally or better physically in some way, literally writing down the tools that you have available to make a given task, to facilitate a given task. So like, for example, Eric's dishes, I got Katie coming over and just like watching Cake Boss or something while I do it, because body doubling helps a lot. Katie coming over and putting away the clean dishes as I dry it. Sorry, these all involve you, but you're like the only person in my life right now. Texting Katie and just like asking you to say, hey, you got this, or something like that. Listening to podcasts, you know, like, oh, I have this, you know, Pod Save America or whatever, like I can listen to while I'm doing my dishes. Having those like logged and ready to go, so that in those moments when you need help, you don't have to, you don't don't have to think of it. You don't have to conjure it out of nothing. One of the more useful things somebody ever said to me, I think it was a therapist a while ago, said, in the moments when we're strong, we prepare for the moments when we're weak. And I do not want to assign a value judgment to strength or weakness. I just mean to say that in moments when you're needing the help, it's not always the easiest thing to figure out what necessary help is. So in moments when you're feeling kind of good, just, you know, when you're feeling good about your mental health, you're having a good mental health day, you're taking a walk, you know, maybe you had a good breakfast or something. I don't know. Think like, huh, dishes. What can I do to make dishes easier? Laundry. What can I do to make laundry easier? You know, for example, for me, music, it's really hard for me to work alone and it's really hard for me to work without music. Like I need either one of those things to help me work. And so like having speakers that are loud enough for me to like play smooth jazz while I like tidy up, like that's a little thing, but I know that about myself now. And it's very hard for me when I'm struggling to do a task, do the dishes, vacuum the floor, whatever it is, fill out, respond to emails or whatever. It's hard for me to realize in those moments, like, oh, I'll put on, you know, John Coltrane. That always seems to help. It's hard for me to remember that in the moment. But since I've like done the thinking beforehand, I can just, oh, I got to go home and clean, make sure I have music ready to go, you know, because I've already done that thinking. It also brings me back to my like kitchen days of do all your thinking at once, you know, think about what you're going to set up before you do it so that you don't have to organize all that stuff in those moments when you need help. But so having sort of a playbook, a toolbox, like ready to go to help you in those moments is, it can be very helpful. It feels kind of dorky, but you know what's also dorky? Some of my favorite people. So.
Oh, man.
Who said I was talking about you? Well, you are dorky and it's amazing. I don't consider dork an insult by any stretch.
Like, okay. I'm proud of how much of a dork I am. It's fine. I feel like this is going to be a weird thing, but I'm okay with it because I know that one of the most important things that ever happened to me in conversation with asking for help was just literally feeling like I had permission. Like, you know, it was okay for me to ask for help. Mm. I wasn't a failure for needing to ask for help. I wasn't a fuck up because, you know, I didn't know what help I needed. So, Eric.
Yes.
I want you to go first. Mm-hmm. But to the listeners, to our dear listeners who are sitting out there going like, oh, but I'm embarrassed to ask for help, or I feel bad for needing to ask for help, or I don't want to be an inconvenience and I don't want to be a bother. What do you say to those people?
Hey, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask for help. That's it. I mean, it's okay to ask for help. That help might not accept it. You know, sometimes they're going to say, oh, I can't. I got, you know, roller skating lessons or whatever. I can't come over and help you with the dishes. And that's fine, too. But that doesn't mean you're a bad person for asking. Just, it's okay to ask for help, okay? It's totally fine. There's no correct way to do this life thing as long as you're not hurting other people, okay? Do what you got to do to make your life something you like. Katie, would you like to go next? What do you have to say to
sure.
these people?
It was funny. I set you up for that question and then did not have a thought in my brain. You know what? I'm gonna say it like this. And this is going to be maybe a weird way to say it, but here we are. One of the most frustrating parts about having ADHD, and one of the most difficult parts about having ADHD, I think, isn't the executive dysfunction. It's not the, you know, rejection sensitivity. It's not the ADHD itself. What it is, and again, I'm just speaking from my own personal experience, but it is the feeling of learning over and over and over and over and over and over again ad infinitum that you can't do stuff like other people, or you don't think like other people, or you do things in a way that doesn't make sense to other people. And oftentimes when other people are involved, those other people, for better or for worse, cast judgment on what you are doing and how you do it. And so somewhere along the way, again, at least in my experience, you learn to feel like a bother. You learn to feel like an inconvenience. You learn to feel like there is something inherently wrong with you because you struggle with the dishes or the laundry and it's so easy. And maybe if you just tried a little bit harder, it would, you know, you could just do it and you wouldn't need to ask for help. But sometimes asking for help is the most powerful thing that you can do, because there's no one right way to do anything. And so asking for help doesn't make you an inconvenience. It doesn't make you a bother. It doesn't make you a failure. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you anything but a person in that moment who needs a little bit more support, who needs a little bit of guidance on, you know, the best way to do your laundry or whatever it may be. You are not an inconvenience and you are not a bad person for asking. And so if you are sitting with, you know, uncertainty or anxiety about, you know, reaching out and asking for help, do it. You are allowed to ask for help. Asking for help is part of the process of being human. It is part of the process of living your life. And so not asking for help is counterintuitive to growth. It is counterintuitive to finding better solutions. It is counterintuitive to finding better support and better systems, because the person that you ask for help, or, you know, even going onto YouTube and saying, you know, different ways to do your laundry, you might find the right way. But being able to admit that you need that extra support, like, that's not being a fuck up. That's powerful and that's important. That turned into a speech. I'm sorry.
No, that's great.
I was like, I got like real heated up. I was really just talking to like freshman year in college, Katie. That's who that's who that was for. That was for myself more than anybody else.
Thanks, Katie, for talking about. I really need to talk about that because I don't know. We did a whole clean my apartment thing the other day, and I was starting to feel bad about it. And I was like, huh, why do I feel bad about that? So I don't know. I just wanted to talk about that.
Huh. I had fun cleaning your apartment.
That's fun, right? We made a day of it.
We may have looked all nice.
Put on some music,
put on some tunes.
TV about fixing up cars.
We made some watercolors.
Oh, yeah.
We watched them put the Gotham Garage thumbprint on stuff.
We made a day of it.
We made a day of it. It was super fun. There's spider webs on all the cars. Every single car had a spider web. Every single one.
Well, anyways, thank you so much, dear listener, for listening to this episode. We have a little announcement real quick about the Patreon song over the past couple months. But it's going to fade out right here, and you're going to hear the intro music again. So stay tuned for the announcement. Fade out. It's fading. So clean. Oh my gosh, the production value.
Here's the thing, dearest listeners and patrons. So you may have noticed that for the past couple of weeks, the Patreon song has been absent. If you don't know what the Patreon song is, if you are new to Infinite Quest, if you join our Patreon, which you can do by visiting patreon.com/infinitequest, we usually, historically, put your name in a song. However, I'm not gonna lie, I've been not great for some weeks now. I was gonna say some days, but then I realized I was lying.
Yeah, well, it's been a hard last couple decades.
Some weeks now. And so we'd been, we hadn't really gotten around to doing the Patreon talk. So the other day we were streaming on Twitch and we decided to be like just absolute weirdos about it. And we recorded an entire podcast that is just the Patreon song.
Yeah, it's 43 minutes ish.
It is a 43 minute musical episode adventure orama. There's a concertina.
There's a concertina. That's
there's
right.
There's at least two ukuleles.
There's a banjo-lele,
there's
too.
A guitar. But we did realize at some point that it was just too
it was too much. The chaos was just astronomical.
It was it is a chaos gremlin episode. I'm very happy with it. I've been wanting to do a musical number episode for a very long time. But we did it and it was really fun. So we are going to put that on the Patreon. So if you are a patron, it will be hopefully up. We need to clean up the audio a little bit, but it will be on the Patreon by the end of the week. And if you're like, holy shit, a musical episode, I want that more than anything else, but I'm not a patron. How do I get it? Go sign up on the Patreon and then you can have access to the musical episode. But then also next week, we'll put your name in the Patreon song.
That's
right. It's like the circle of life.
That's right.
Circle of Patreon life.
And it rules us all. Is that the line?
And it, I think it's moves.
Moves us
and
all.
And it
that
moves
it?
Us all.
Oh, this is turning into music. It's a circle of life.
That was really good.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, so the long Patreon episode will be, or the long musical improv episode will be on the Patreon. And hey, if y'all like it, it was fun to do. I don't know. It was fun. Wow. Let us know.
We need to get on Off Book, the musical podcast.
Oh, yeah, and definitely.
And then make friends with the... I forgot what I was going to say. That was really good.
Well, thanks for listening,
everybody.
Game Changers.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, we need to make friends with Off Book and Game Changers, and then we'll be set for life.
Totally.
So you need to do.
Well, thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll have a new episode on Thursday as well. And again, if you do want to join the Patreon, it's patreon.com/infinitequest.
I know it's really late. We should tell them about the thing. We should tell them about the new thing.
The new thing?
The
Are
new
you sure?
Thing. The, yeah.
All right.
We should tell them about it, because then that way
we can.
This is a weird time to do this, but yeah. it's an
if you
ADHD
made it for your diehard fan who would be interested in this kind of stuff.
It's fine.
We are starting a YouTube show. Is that the big thing you were talking about?
I'm saying.
Working title.
And I want to say very specifically, we're going to make one episode of this project that we've had an idea for a while and see how it goes. We're not committing to anything.
Uh-huh.
Because remember how well Katie and Eric did do stuff when. It went real good for like two episodes, and then we never did it again.
Well, I also did move across the country is the whole thing. But yes, it's going to be a YouTube show, working title, Who in the What, Where, When, where basically Katiosaurus and I answer strange questions through research and hands-on process stuff. For example, Excalibur, King Arthur's sword. Who would have made that sword? What would it have looked like? Where would the steel have come from? Why would somebody lodge it in a stone?
How do you lodge a sword in a stone?
Right?
Feasibly.
We would explore where the myth came from, but we would also explore, like, literally, where would that sword have been made? Who specifically would have made it? If you were to go back in time and eat bread with Queen Elizabeth, would that have been? The first, yes. What I was gonna say, you don't have to go back and do that.
I mean, she's been around for a minute.
She has, Jesus Christ. But like, who would have made that bread? Does that species of grain still exist? Do the machines that made that bread that would have made that bread still exist?
The grain shortage of 1595 impacted the cost of that loaf of bread.
Exactly. So Katie will be doing the
Know that off the top of my head? It's fine.
I'm just not surprised. Like, that's interesting. That's awesome. But I'm not surprised that you would know something like that. So Katie, you'll be doing sort of the historical research stuff, talking to the people.
I'm mostly going to make stuff, though. You don't have permadibs on the making stuff.
That's true.
I would just like to say that for the record.
Whereas I'll be more focused on the process, trying to figure out if the machines, there are any replicas of the machines that would have done it, still exists. And I'll go
find field trips.
The keepers of the knowledge, and hopefully they'll show me how to make the bread or do the stuff. I mean, we'll both have our hands in both, but that's sort of the tone of it.
It's going to be like Mythbusters.
Yeah.
Meets Good Eats.
Yeah.
Meets Ruth Goodman. Yeah. It's like if Ruth Goodman and Alton Brown teamed up.
Yeah, mixed with the book What If by Randall Monroe.
Yeah. And also, if you work for Netflix and you're like, holy shit, that sounds like such a good idea for a show.
Exist yet.
We are open to offers.
Yes. And we frankly don't know which. There are three YouTube channels in the mix. There's Katiosaurus's YouTube, there's HeyGood YouTube, and there's Infinite Quest YouTube. And I don't know there's a lot of infrastructure. But anyways, go follow those three accounts just so you'll always see the stuff wherever it gets posted. So
yeah.
YouTube.com/Katiosaurus, HeyGood, and Infinite Quest. You got the idea.
Speaking of, we're going to go buy some cameras.
Because
we're going to have multiple camera angles for this.
Well, it's going to be legit.
It's going to be legit. We're buying lighting.
Yeah.
We're building a studio.
I think we probably have already lighting. But yeah, we're going to use like wood and saws and nails and stuff to build a studio. It's going to be awesome.
We're designing a set.
Yeah.
It's going to be dope.
It's
going to
be real deal stuff. It's going to be real deal stuff. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for that project. And we will see you on Thursday.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, wait, we forgot to do the send-off.
Oh, wait, yeah, do it.
Yeah, hey, remember to drink some water. Remember to take your meds. Remember to eat a snack. And remember to be kind to yourself and kind to others. I almost forgot
it's been a while, huh?
Remember... Yeah, we love you. Thanks for listening. And thanks for your continued support of Infinite Quest. You guys mean the world to us, and we really do mean that. So have a good day. Bye.
Bye.